am Anne Sykes, and I'm interviewing Anne Bailey, who lives at Woodside in the village. Woodside East Street. Oh, are there three Woodside? Woodside East Street. If you'd like to explain how you came to Hambledon and what your connection is.
Yes, I'd love to.
Okay.
Well, my grandparents, my mother's parents, were farmers. And really, my grandfather was a farmer. In fact, not many years ago, Nick and I met Tom Parker at a party.
Oh, yes.
And I said rather quietly, I think you may have known my grandmother, Lucy Nicol. Arr, he said, I knew Jim Nicol. And he was a wonderful sheep farmer, which I never knew.
Oh.
And because when my grandparents came here, he was very, very ill, and they had a nurse living with them to look after him.
Yes.
And I don't know which year he died, but he died before my mother's wedding in 1937. And they were previously farming as tenant farmers in outside Mitcheldever at Western Farm. But now that bit of Mitcheldever called Weston is now called Weston Coley, which wasn't so when my mother was there. But it was an idyllic childhood for my mother. She was the youngest of five.
Oh.
And they went as day children, including her brother, my uncle, to St. Swithin's. But apparently they do now, I think they do still take boys in the very youngest, pre-prep, I think, probably.
Yes.
And yeah, they had a wonderful life because my mother said she went home after school, never even opened her satchel, and just got straight on a pony and went riding.
Oh,
and that was their life, and it was just blissful.
Yes.
And then when she was 23, my grandparents moved they wanted another tenancy for farming. And a park was a farming tenancy owned by Winchester College.
Yes.
Whether the farm at Weston was, I don't know.
No.
And anyway, that's what brought them to Hambledon. And my grandfather died before my mother was even married in 1937. And she had actually met my father at a dance at RAF, I think it was called RAF Worthydown, just outside Winchester.
Oh, yes.
Very near Mitcheldever.
Yes.
That's where they met. And they got married in Hambledon Church.
Oh, lovely.
December the 18th, 1937. A long time ago.
Yes.
And it was strange in a way. Well, I wasn't born until 1942. My mother had been very, very ill, and she was told she'd never have children. And she said, would it be safe for me to see if I can have a child? And the doctor said, yes, absolutely. And so I was born in January 1942. And my father, by then, all he ever wanted to do was fly. Because the Air Force was very new then.
Yes.
And his father was a doctor. And he had three sons. My father was the eldest. And he said to my father, I want you to be a doctor. My father said, well, I just want to fly. And anyhow, he went to Cambridge to read medicine at Corpus Christi College. And I think he had one term. And he said to his father, it's no good. I can't do medicine. I must fly.
I know how wonderful.
So fly he did, yes. And he was lucky because I'm not really talking about Hambledon, am I?
Don't worry.
Anyway, he flew a lot of different aeroplanes, just with the jobs he had. And so when the war came, he was a very experienced pilot. And I think, because he was a bomber pilot, as I said, and, you know, very often they'd go off on operations.
Yes.
And he'd be the only one to come back.
Oh,
you know, time and time again. It was really...
My mother was in bomber command, so
was she?
She was a plotter.
Was she?
So she plotted them all out and plotted them all back, so
goodness.
She knew that very well.
Yeah, yes.
Where did they live when they were first married then?
When they were first married, they lived in Gosport.
Okay.
My mother said we never had any spirits in the house. We had a glass of wine and beer.
Okay.
And that was it.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and so Mrs. Nicol was still at Park Farm then?
She was, yes.
So living in Park House.
Living in Park House,
farming
that's right.
Park Farm.
And it was a complete community at Park, because all the villages, there were four cottages
yes.
for all the workers on the farm.
Yes.
And of course where Park Barn now is,
yes.
that was a dairy.
Yes.
And they had a wonderful redpoll. herd of Redpoll. I think, but I don't know if they're milking cattle or whether they're beef cattle. And she had Frisians. I think perhaps the Frisians were the milkers.
Yes,
I don't know.
They would have been.
And then dear Ernie Ware, he was the foreman of the farm, and he had, I think, 10 children. And my grandmother said, you know, Ernie, look after Mrs. Ware. She shouldn't have so many children. Anyhow, there's nothing you can do, is there? And so then she had the number 5 built with lots of bedrooms.
Yes.
So it was much better for Ernie. There was more room there.
Oh, so Ernie. So is that the Mrs. Ware who used to win all the cookery prizes?
Yes.
At the flower show?
That was Ernie's sister-in-law.
Oh, his sister-in-law.
She was married to Ernie's brother.
Okay. And didn't work on the farm as well?
He was a gardener.
Oh, he
And
was
he gardened for the Hancocks at Whitedale.
At Whitedale House, yes.
And at Whitedale House. And Mrs. Hancock built, well, Commander Hancock, I suppose, built the cottage, now known as the Dower House.
The Dower House.
There was a small cottage for Eddie Ware and Mrs. Ware.
I didn't realise.
We called her Auntie Ware because, you know, she was an aunt to all Ernie's children.
Yes.
And she, when my grandmother was living at Park, Auntie Ware used to come up a lot to cook meals for smart dinner parties and lunch parties.
When I first joined the Horticultural Society in 1997, she was still cooking and winning prizes.
Oh, she is. She was a wonderful cook.
Yes, because the cookery thing now is the Iris Ware Trophy.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, well
done.
But I
didn't realise one of the Wares was manager at Park Farm. Anyway,
yes,
carry
yes,
on. So Mrs. Nicol, so there was quite a community.
It was a real community up there.
Farm,
it was.
The farm workers.
And with, you know, with all the men on the farm, there was always somebody there. And I had one aunt who I found rather terrifying. And a cousin of mine said she found her terrifying too. But I was very fond of her,
so
Natalie.
So this is Mrs. Nicol's sister?
Daughter.
Oh, daughter, sorry.
Yes, my
of
mother's,
course,
my
yes,
mother's,
your mother's
sister.
Yes.
And when my grandmother announced, very often to my cousin and me, who happened to be there, Auntie Barr's coming up to see me tomorrow. Jean and Sally and I would say, oh, how lovely. And then we would scatter for the day. They wouldn't see sight or sound of us for the whole day. And Ernie Ware's, I think he was the eldest son, I think Ronnie, was a very good-looking boy. And I thought, well, I'll just go round to the farmyard in case I catch a glimpse of Ronnie on the tractor, maybe.
How funny.
Yes, it was a wonderful life.
Yes.
And there was a Mrs. Manning up there. I think her husband was the dairyman. And Mrs. Manning was very badly crippled and she just lived in a wheelchair. And if I'd not got nothing better to do, I'd often go round and have a chat to her through the back door.
Yes.
And it was a lovely life for me.
I'm sure.
Particularly being an only child. There was a lot going on.
Yes.
And Ivy Briggs had her father's shop, which is now the People's Market.
Oh, I didn't know.
And living there with her was Ina Hooker. I don't know if she's a relation of the Hookers who were all killed in the war. They're all their names are read
Farmer
out
Memorial.
Every year.
Yes.
And
she must have been.
I think she probably was. And she lived there, and she gardened. She did all the gardening at Park because it's a huge walled garden over that.
Yes.
The track going up.
Yes, I know.
And she had wonderful flowers, wonderful fruit and vegetables, and a very old. I suppose it's a well, but there was water, you know, at the top.
Yes, I think there still is a well.
Yes, it's really, I mean, it ought to be listed because it's a fantastic building.
Yes.
And then the Ost House at the back.
Yes.
It's a dovecot, I suppose, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
marvellous. So when, actually, just to put into context, my father-in-law, John Sykes, came as a student farmer to see how he got on, to work for Mrs. Nicol, and he lived in a room at the very top of Park House in, I think, 1938.
Oh, did he?
Is when he came as a student.
I think he came before that.
Oh, he may have done.
I'm sure he did, because
36.
My mother got married in December 37.
Yes, and he was here then.
He was here then.
Oh,
because
okay.
I know he invited her to a May ball.
Oh, it may well have been 36 then.
So he would have been at university.
He would have been.
Oh, he would have had been at university.
He
obviously.
He had been at university. That would make sense. I can't remember when he was born. 1915. So he'd have been 21.
Oh, he was a year older than my mother. Yes. Younger. Yes.
He'd have been about 21.
Yes. Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah, very close in age.
So when did Mrs. Nicol die then?
She died in 1977.
Okay. So, and she was a tenant until 1977.
No. She was a tenant until about 55.
Oh, really?
Yes, 55 or 56.
So who took the tenancy on?
Well,
because I thought my father-in-law, John Sykes, took it on from her.
No, well, lovely Mary Ware, who helped me in the house.
Yes. So which was Mary Ware, daughter?
She was the eldest daughter of Ernie.
Okay. Mm.
And she was a lovely, very like her father. Very quiet. She was a darling and she did so much for me. And she...
Who took the tenancy on after?
Well, Mary always said somebody, a man, took on, that we're talking about, yes. took the tenancy on when my grandmother retired and moved. She then moved to Woodside.
Oh, okay.
She bought the house. She knew because she had a tenancy, she'd have to move out when she retired.
Yes.
So she bought that house, I don't know when, but before the war. Mm-hmm. And Mary said she certainly remembered a man taking on the tenancy of Park after my grandmother left.
How interesting.
And
Tim may remember. It doesn't matter. Yes. I just thought you might. So you were living in Gosport.
My parents were.
Your parents were.
Yes, I wasn't born.
Oh, no, of course you weren't.
No.
So where were you born?
I was born, actually, because my mother had been so ill. She had a specialist in Winchester Hospital. Mm. And I was born in Sarum Road Nursing Home, just above the hospital.
And your parents were living in Gosport then?
No, they were living in Gosport when they were first married.
Okay, so yes. Where were they living after when you were born?
Well, just before I was born, they were living above a pub in... just outside Oxford.
Oh, right.
Beginning with A, what's it called?
Abingdon.
Abingdon, exactly, yes. Abingdon.
So by this time your father...
He was a pilot. He was just flying. He was flying, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So where did you go to school then?
I went to school first. My mother and I lived... During the war, when my father was on operations,
yes.
we lived at Park.
Okay.
Throughout the
war. So you came back here with your grandmother.
Yes.
Yes.
And
after that, we were discussing this earlier. You were only three when the tanks were in Hamel.
When the war ended. Yes, that's right.
When the war ended.
Yes.
When D-Day and all of that.
That's right. That's right.
So you don't remember all of that.
But I did hear a wonderful story. I must find out who it was. But when all the tanks came here, and of course, a lot of parking spaces around here are concrete from the tanks being parked.
Oh.
They made all these parking spots for tanks all over the lanes, all around here.
Yes, goodness.
And Alison Meyer's mother, Margot Pertwee, she was Margot Carr before that, she remembered them tarmacking all the lanes around Forest Gate, from Forest Gate to Rushmere.
Yes.
Those were all track, you know, earth tracks before.
Yes, I'm sure they were.
But they were all tarmacked to take the tanks.
To take the tanks.
The tanks just poured in here, all round here.
And down to Bury Lodge. They were all parked outside Bury Lodge, I thought.
I think they were. I think they were everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And one chap in his tank popped his head up because none of them knew where they were going.
No.
And he said, Corbelimey, we're outside my parents' house in Hambledon.
Oh, funny. Well,
I don't know who it was. I thought it might have been Mr. Kirby, but I didn't think it was. I can't remember anyway.
No.
Christine Kirby. I must ring Christine Kirby because she'd know who it was.
Okay. So, presumably, you lived all over the place then after the war.
We did. We were posted everywhere.
You were posted all over.
Well, my father had a horrible war being a bomber pilot. He really hated it.
Yes.
And the only thing he ever spoke to me about the war was saying that the day before they were doing a bombing raid, they would fly over and disperse a little bundle of bits of paper tied with elastic bands, and that the wind would disperse them everywhere, saying, get out of such and such a building because we're going to bomb it tomorrow.
Oh, gosh.
So he just hoped against hope that people did get out for the next day.
Yes.
So they weren't killed.
No.
but he really hated it. And so I'm sure, you know, there's a way of thanking him, I suppose. We had to say he was sent on a lovely job. There were several RAF flying schools out in southern Rhodesia, Zimbabwe, as it now is. So we had a lovely 2.5 years out there. It was absolutely heavenly.
Lovely.
Yes, sailed in a lovely ocean liner to Cape Town.
Oh,
it was fantastic, yes.
While you were posted abroad a lot, where was home?
Home was at Park.
Home was at Park
with my
house.
Grandmother. Yes, okay. It was lovely.
And you were saying your parents had one little part of the house.
Yes, when you go up the back stairs, on the first floor, there was a bedroom at the double room at the back, overlooking where Anne Bazalgette lived.
Yes.
That was there, my parents' room, and there was a bathroom between us, and then I had the front room. Mm-hmm. And it was always said that there were monks who had lived up in the top of our bit of house.
Yes, I heard that from my father-in-law.
Did you?
Yes.
And my mother heard one of the monks going up. It always went either, I can't remember, upstairs or downstairs, but it always went the same way when she heard it.
Really?
But it was a lovely atmosphere. I mean, I was never, ever frightened there.
No.
And I knew about the ghost. And further up, there was above our bedrooms, there was a priest hole.
Oh, really?
Mm. And my cousin, Simon Harris, went over there one day, and he'd parked at the back, and Anne Stanford, Guy's wife, came up and said, you know, can I help you? And he said, I hope you don't mind, I'll just come to have a look, because my grandmother used to live here. And she said, would you like to come in? He said, well, I'd love to. And they didn't know about the priest hole.
Oh,
so Simon, I think Simon showed Anne where it was.
Goodness,
yes.
Really. I'd have thought Guy would.
Yes, I didn't. Yes, it's funny.
Yes.
Anyway, it's all exciting. I mean, it's full of atmosphere, that house. I mean, it's so old.
Oh, yes.
It looks old, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So when she retired, she then moved to Woodside.
Woodside East Street.
Yes.
Yes, because she knew when she retired she'd have to get out of the house.
Yes.
And hand it back to Winchester College, who owned it. And so when this little house came on the market,
yes,
she bought it.
Yes.
And she enlarged it, because the drawing room at Park is a lovely room for entertaining, you know, for a drinks party.
Yes.
And so she built that, our drawing room on.
Yes.
The same size as the Park one.
Yes.
And then she built herself a double bedroom and a bathroom above it.
Uh-huh, yes.
So it's now actually a very nice sized house now. We've had room, luckily, all these years, not all these years, but a few years, to have Tom and Louise and the children living with us, which has been lovely. We're coming and going to Portugal.
So then Woodside became home, I assume, when you came back here.
Yes.
Your father was away.
Well, then soon after that, my grandmother said to, I never knew if it was Archie or Charlie Rumbold, I think, anyhow, the old Mr. Rumbold.
Okay.
Who was a tenant.
Who were the Rumbolds then?
He was a builder.
Okay.
Charlie and Archie, father and son, but I forget which was which. And in fact, there's a person living now in Cath and Ernie Graham's house up Vicarage Lane, just below the Heaps.
Yes.
And his wife is a descendant of Charlie Rumbold. Well, and I mean, they were father and son, I think.
Ah.
And so her mother was married, I think, to Charlie Rumbold. I don't know. I think the younger one.
So what's the connection with that and...
Mr. Rumbold was renting half of Jasmine Cottage, where Tom and Louise now live.
Oh, yes.
And my grandmother said to him one day, you still haven't found a house for my daughter to live in. And he said, well, she better buy this. So my grandmother said, oh, is it for sale? He said, yes. She said, do you know who owns it? And he told her. So she rang this lady who lives, I think she lived in Waterlooville, I'm not sure. And she said, oh, is that Mrs. Nicol, the JP? And my grandmother said, yes. And she said, oh, well... you were very good to my boy once. He came up on the bench before you.
Oh, dear.
And you're extremely good to him. I'll do anything for you. So my grandmother said, I want my daughter to buy your house. Wasn't it lucky?
Yes. Okay, so then...
So then my grandmother rang my poor father, who was just an impecunious Air Force officer. And my father said, well, give me half an hour to talk to the bank manager. And my grandmother said, if you don't buy it, I will. So he had a gun behind him.
Yes.
And my lucky mother, she'd always said, apparently, I didn't know, but apparently, the only two houses that she would like to live in Hambledon were Jasmine Cottage and Blenheim, where the Galgis lived.
Yes.
And she didn't want any other house in the village. So wasn't she lucky, and they bought that.
Very lucky.
Yes.
And it's, of course, it's still in the family because Tom, your son.
Yes, we couldn't believe it. I know, Tom said, Louise and I want to come and live at Jasmine.
Yeah.
And we said, you can't possibly live there. It's far too close to be near your mother-in-law.
Yes.
You know, a daughter's one thing, but a daughter-in-law is something quite different. And anyhow, how lucky we are, because Louise is the most lovely daughter-in-law possible.
Yes. So, when you came to live at Jasmine, what year, can you remember what
year
that was?
Yes, my father bought it in 57.
Right.
And we moved in 58.
Yes.
And then in 59, my father had another lovely posting out to India.
Yes.
He was the air advisor to the British High Commissioner in Delhi for 2.5 years. It was really
wonderful.
So you
went out to India as well?
I did, age 17.
Oh, how lovely.
Lovely diplomatic party, so it was wonderful.
Yes.
Yes.
And then you came back.
Then we came back, and he was about to retire then.
Mm.
Because he had an acting rank of Air Commodore, because that was the job, and he'd had it, I think he was there for 2.5 years. So he was able to keep the rank, but not the pension. He didn't get an Air Commodore's pension, but he got Air Commodore's rank.
Okay.
And, and then my parents stayed there all the rest of their lives. It was wonderful.
Yes, I remember I remember them both.
Yes.
I particularly remember your mother.
Yes. It was lovely for her, being so near my grandmother.
Yes.
But when Tom said he and Louise wanted to live there, we really couldn't picture it.
No.
Because it is so near for a daughter-in-law to be near. Yes.
You know, that's wonderful. It seems to have worked very well.
Well, we're very, very lucky. Louise is such a super girl.
So when you came back to Hambledon, who do you remember in the village particularly? I mean, there's a sort of prompt here saying, was there a particular postman or a postmistress?
Yes, well, the postman.
What was the village like?
Well, we had wonderful Mrs. Perkins delivering the papers, and she lived up Cam's Hill, and her granddaughter lives still in the same house.
Oh, really?
As you go to the top of Cam's Hill, past Cam's house on your right,
yes,
and you do a sharp left and a sharp right. I can't quite remember her granddaughter's name, but as far as I know, they're still there. They live in the house on the corner where Mrs. Perkins lived.
Yes. Gosh, yeah. So she delivered the papers. Was there a post office and a postmistress?
There was a post office, yes, and Nina Silk, and her mother, Mrs. Silk, ran the post office, and Nina Silk, was she Nina Silk?
And
Barbara, what was she called? Barbara and George Smith, I think they were there, and they had a daughter, Alison, who I think has come back to live in the village. I'm not sure.
Oh. So, what other shops were around?
Yeah, well, there was wonderful shops. We had London House, which is still called London House.
Yes, it is.
That was a wonderful. When I was a child, it was haberdashers, where they sold cotton reels and tape measures and knitting needles and wonderful shop buttons. And then this side of that, I think, was of London House, was a little, it was a bit further up the road, I think, further towards the bakery. That was a small fruit and veg shop. And the lady who ran that lived at Chidden, and she came every day on her bicycle.
Oh, how marvellous.
And I suppose a van must have delivered fruit and veg to her.
Yes.
And
was there, Tim Wills remembers a sweet shop.
Somewhere. Yeah, we had sweet shops too.
Two?
Yes, one was Verney Cottage, opposite the Red House.
That's right, I thought.
And that was where the Rumbolds lived.
Okay, yes.
So I used to go down there with my pocket money every week and buy sweets. And then the other sweet shop was right at the far end of the village, opposite the cottage where James and Viv Lord lived.
Yes, I think it was the Cricketer's Cottage or.
Yes, well, it was the first of that row of cottages after Barn Crescent.
Yes.
The first house there, that was a sweet shop. And that was run by Mrs. Goldsmith lived in the cottage. Her husband, I think, was killed in the Second World War.
Mm.
And she was there with her three boys,
Gosh.
Who were very wild. John Goldsmith then lived with Bridget in Little Simmons.
So it was those, John and...
David and William.
William. Yes, I remember three John boys. And William.
Yes.
Yes.
I think David lived abroad. David was very musical.
Yeah.
And.
So they lived in the sweet shop.
No. No, they lived opposite.
Oh, opposite.
In the cottage.
Okay, in the cottage.
I don't know when their father died, but Mrs. Goldsmith was a widow.
Yes.
In the cottage.
Oh, with the three boys.
And the three boys were very naughty.
Oh, how lovely.
And they always played endless jokes. Mm. One of them was, and Johnny Moat's mother, Norrie Peddy, lived in what was called the New House. Sammy Butler had that built. It was a children's nursery. They would have people who went to work. They would have their babies, tiny babies and children.
Where was this then?
This is Upwell Hill.
New House.
Upwell.
Oh, I see, the thatched one.
Is it thatched? Yes.
The
on the left. It's the building beyond Berry Lodge.
Yes, beyond Berry Lodge.
It's called
Drive.
Something Field, I think.
Upper Drive.
Hapton House? No, not Hapton House.
No, that's Lindy Hyams.
Yes.
I know exactly where you mean.
Yeah.
Yes, Sam went there to nursery.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, he did. That, yes, because I know the people who live there now. Claire and Phil Robin.
Oh, really?
Yes, and they've done...
Well, it was the Croysdells.
It was the Croysdells.
Yes, and so I think they started that nursery.
Okay, they did. So
prior to that.
I don't know, so Sammy Butler at Berry Lodge built that house.
Yes.
For...
I don't know who for, but Norrie Peddy lived there.
Okay.
And she...
And again, just a note, we have the Peddy Challenge Cup.
Oh, well, that's it. That's from Norrie Peddy.
Society,
yes.
From Norrie Peddy.
Oh, that's right.
How funny. Yes.
And I can't quite remember Norrie Peddy's husband's name.
No, well,
but she had a charming son, Johnny Moat, who was very sort of ethereal and fey, and he wrote poetry.
Oh.
And he was extremely good looking, I thought. Mm. But quite a bit older than me.
Yes.
And they got up to endless pranks, he and the Goldsmiths.
Oh, really?
And old Colonel Hall, who lived where Josie Hill Reed now lives.
Yes.
Hill House, isn't it?
Yes, Hill House.
Colonel Hall lived there with his wife Joan Hall, who was the daughter of the vicar, Kynaston.
Right.
He was the vicar here at that
yes.
time.
And they got a Kynaston cup too.
Have you? Well, that's
the,
it.
Yes.
The,
yes.
That'll be Joan Hall's father.
Yes.
And I mean, they married when fairly elderly, so they had no children.
But were you saying these boys? Played pranks on them.
They turned up one day and...
To Colonel Hall
and said, afternoon, sir, we've come to read the meter.
Oh, no.
And he looked at them rather sideways and he said, okay, you can follow me. And he said to his wife after they'd gone, he said, sure, I recognise those boys, you know. It was so naughty.
Oh.
And then they said, I think Celia Lanyon had a ghastly hiccup once at the Conservative fete, and Madame Arcari couldn't come. So the boys said, she said, we'll do it. We'll tell people's fortunes. And of course, it was absolute mayhem. And they said all sorts of awful things were going to happen to people, and I don't know what didn't happen. And so it was then minuted, because Celia was the chairman of the Conservatives for a long time.
Yes.
It was then minuted that the Goldsmiths were never again to be invited to the fete.
Oh, how brilliant.
And when we moved here, the buzz was going round, saying, you can forget about the Conservatives and the Goldsmiths. They're all liberal. So it was all
brilliant.
Great fun. Yes.
So where did Celia Lanyon live?
She lived in
Hambledon House.
Yes.
Okay. Which is where the
And I think it was a nightmare to her children, because whenever... You know, there was a dividend came up on the shares or something, and they thought, at last the parents could get the hole in the roof mended or something else mended. But no, all they ever did was to throw another enormous drinks party and invite the whole village.
Oh, what fun!
I know, they were wonderful.
Oh,
yes, wonderful
that's,
fun.
That's brilliant.
Mm. It was
that's
a lot
a
of fun.
It's a great way to live, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
Yes.
Yes. Let the house fall down around you.
Exactly. There were lots of pubs as well, weren't there?
There were.
Yes.
We had, well, of course, half the Bat and Ball, you see, belongs to Hambledon.
Yes, exactly.
And do you know the line?
Yes, I know the
and
line.
So the Hambledon drinking in the time of drinking laws was half an hour later
yes,
than Clanfield.
In Clanfield.
So you bought your drink in Clanfield and then you crossed the line to drink it for the next half hour.
That's right.
And the George was a wonderful pub, and that was a coaching inn. I mean, they had lots of bedrooms and things.
Yes.
And when my dear old pa-in-law came to live with us after he was widowed, he used to love walking down to the George. And dear Jenny and Gordon...
Ooh, I can't remember. Tim would remember that.
Yes. Anyhow, Jenny Bellinger, as she now is, she would say, your usual, to Nick's father, your usual Captain Bailey. He'd have a schooner of sherry.
So just a minute, Jenny Bellinger was...
I can't think what Gordon's surname was.
She wasn't the landlady of the pub.
Yes, she and her husband were.
She's not old enough, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Goodness, well,
when did he come and live with us? He came to live with us in 1985.
I was going to say, he was with you when we got married. He was. Which was 89.
It was it, yes. Yes. I think he came in 85, yes. And, yes, because I remember when Tim came and said you were going to get married.
Yes.
My father said, I better get out my morning coat and get it all dusted down. Dear chap.
How wonderful. Mm. So, let's go back to the shops. So the People's Market was then owned by...
By Ivy Briggs. It had been run by her father.
Okay.
And when he died, Ivy took it on. She never married.
No.
And it was a wonderful shop. They sold everything. A wonderful smell in there. Mm. There were candles and everything you could think of was sold there.
Yes.
And then just up and on the corner was the Copper Kettle.
Yes.
I never went into it. I suppose I was too young. But it was a cafe, really.
No, Tim remembers the Copper Kettle.
Yes.
Yes.
I wonder if you ever went. I never went into it. Yes, a tea room.
Yes.
And in fact, in the village hall, they used to have some china with blue rings, and that said Copper Kettle.
And then there was...
And then Richard Clark's father had what is now the Stores, selling coffee. Okay. That's where Mr. Clark had his shop.
Selling coffee?
No, it now is selling. Oh, it now is doing coffee, yeah.
So what was he selling?
He was a grocery store. Grocer.
And a butcher.
No, we had two butchers just up the hill.
Langtree.
it was Cut Bars.
That's right, Cut Bars. Don't worry, pause. I'm just going to let it run because.
Cut Bars was a butcher where the Hansons used to live. Do you remember where the Hansons?
Yes, I do.
Well, that was where Cut Bars was, the Langtree, was the butcher. And then above him was Langtree's.
Yes.
Which was on the cover, used to be on the cover of the Little Red Hen.
Yes, that's right.
You remember? Yes.
Yes,
and Mr. Clark's, Richard's father, had a brother who ran the grocery shop in Droxford.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, they were both brothers.
They were both grocers.
Both grocers.
So then presumably when Ivy Briggs retired, is that when the Clarks went into the People's Market?
Yes. Mm. Yes, they did. That's right. And I don't know when Steve Miller... When Dusty Miller started the insurance on the corner.
Yes, I don't know.
Probably when Richard's father retired. I don't know.
Yes, maybe.
I'm not sure.
Maybe.
They had a wonderful old van, a wooden, with lovely wooden bits along it. A little van. Which I forget, one of the Hall brothers. There were quite a few Hall brothers. Hall lived where Caroline...
Lambert
and Jan Jarvie. Where they all live. Yes. They were all lived in by Eileen Banting, Fred Banting's wife, by her family. They were all either sisters of hers or brothers of hers who all lived in those cottages. And quite a few of them were Halls. I think one of them drove this van, either for Clark's or for Briggs's. I can't remember which it was.
Yes.
Mm.
Right, I'm trying to think. Coming
and then
along...
Fred Banting had a wonderful builder's yard. Which is still called Banting's Yard.
Which is still called Banting's Yard.
And they did terribly well. They were wonderful. He was a wonderful builder, Fred Banting. But when we flooded badly at Woodside, and we were on our great world trip, poor Louise, she was simply wonderful, masterminding everything. And
I'd forgotten that. You were away.
We were away.
Yes.
Literally, it flooded 2 days after we'd gone. And it all subsided. We were able to walk in shoes when we came back.
Mm.
But that morning, they'd had to have Wellington boots. It was amazing.
Yes.
Poor Louise.
No, I do remember.
It was dreadful.
I remember that well.
Mm. And they suddenly found water gushing out of the top of the side of our well, literally pouring out with pressure against the wall of the drawing room. And obviously we're making the whole house sodden. And I think when Fred Banting built on that drawing room for my grandmother, she didn't have an architect. And somebody said, hey, Fred, I've got this water pouring out. And he said, oh, just bung it up. So it just kept on coming. It was simply ghastly.
Yes.
Underground.
Well, that was the problem. It was the water. So nobody
knew. Nobody knew it was there.
Had come up to such a degree. Mm. That was why it was flooding so much. Yes.
Dear, oh dear.
Right. So then you married. When did
you? Nick and I got married in 1969. No, hang on, 68. Okay, right, 68. Right. Yes.
And he was a naval officer.
Yes. He was working at Aswy up on the South Downs.
Right.
Where they have all those big radar dishes and things above
QA. Communication.
That's it, communication place. He worked there. And his godmother, Barbara Jackson, who had lived in the Red House, wrote to my mother and said, "My godson is at Dryad, HMS Dryad. Would like to meet some of Anne's non-naval friends." And so my mother and I said, "Well, that's very nice. We'll have to have him to a meal sometime." Oh. And then time went by, and she wrote again, saying, "My godson is still at Dryad." Yeah.
And you still haven't had him.
So my mother said, "Well, we're going to invite this young man to lunch on Sunday." And I said, "Well, that's fine." But I said, I actually won't be here because I'm on holiday then, and I'm going to be in London that weekend." And my mother said, "I don't care if you're on Timbuktu. We're not inviting this chap. Just the daddy and me. You jolly well be here." So rather tiresome, I had to be there. And just before poor Nick appeared, my mother said, I don't know what this chap's like. I've never met him, but he's got very nice parents and they live in Northamptonshire. Anyway, that's how Nick and I met.
And that's how you met?
Yes, extraordinary.
And so where were you working?
I was working in London, yes.
Doing?
I was at the French Institute. Well, I went to a secretarial college. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people always say, good heavens, you can do French shorthand, but actually it's just another language, but if you speak the language, you just write down, as you do in English shorthand, you just write down sounds and signs.
Yes,
And say if you can do English shorthand and you can speak French, it's actually just as easy as can be. Mm. And so thanks to that, I got a job using my French at the French Institute in South Kensington in London.
Very good.
With 6 weeks paid holiday a year. When I first met Nick's father, he said, "What do you particularly like about your job?" And I said, "Having 6 weeks paid holiday a year." I didn't think that was very impressive.
No, but that's a jolly good reason.
It was a lovely job, yes. 2 weeks in the summer, a week for Christmas, and a week skiing in March.
Oh, very nice.
Yes, it was lovely.
So you then got married in Hambledon Church.
In Hambledon Church, we did. In 1968. April 68, yes.
Oh.
Yes, it was wonderful. And we had the reception at Woodside.
Lovely.
And every daffodil seemed to be out at its best. Oh, it was really lovely. We were lucky. Yes. It rained in the morning. My father said, he's going to dry up this afternoon. You'll be all right.
Very nice. And then you, presumably, did you go abroad with Nick or were you...
We went abroad with my father. We went abroad in 1950... We came back from Rhodesia in 52. The king had died in 51. Mm. And we were back in time for the coronation, which was wonderful. And then
was there a big coronation party in Hambledon, presumably?
I don't remember that. No. You see, we were not exactly isolated, but we were so complete at Park.
At Park,
with all
the
farm.
Yes.
And the people always in the farmyard.
Yes, you're right. It's not the same as being in the middle of the village.
No. And there weren't very many cars about in those days. You couldn't just get in the car and nip down to the village.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, it was. Okay. Yeah.
But more, I was thinking, after you're married, did you live in Hambledon? Or where did you go then?
We started off in a married quarter at Southwark.
Okay.
In Bolter Lane. Mm. Yeah, we had a married quarter, and somebody said, "You do not want to live in these houses in the winter because it's absolutely arctic."
Okay.
And all, if you put plastic over the windows, they're like a ship in full sail. I think the windows didn't fit very well.
No.
So we just stayed. We got married in April, and we had that married quarter till about October, I suppose. Mm. And then we had some friends in Corham, in Exton, who lived right opposite the pub, the Shoe, and we rented that. They were on a naval posting, I forget where, somewhere miles away, and so we rented that for about a year, I suppose. And then we found there was a little cottage in the middle of West Meon to rent when the people came back to their cottage. And so we rented that. And then the owner, who lived in Droxford, her daughter got divorced. And so she wanted to sell the cottage so that her daughter could buy a house wherever she wanted it. And Nick said to me, and she gave us a very favourable price because we rented it for about 5 years by then. And Nick said to me, now don't tell anyone about this, because she'll just get offered more money by somebody else. So I didn't tell a soul. And one day I went out from the front door, and the house next to us had a door also facing our front door. And at the same moment, Mrs. Appleton came out from the house next door. She said, oh, Mrs. B, I hear your house is for sale. I said, Mrs. Appleton, how do you know? I haven't told anybody. She said the decorators were up there painting. And she said, oh, you're going to make that nice. And he said, yes, because Mrs. Simmons is selling the house, isn't she? You can't have secrets in a village.
No, you can't.
People don't realise.
You can't.
No. Everybody knows exactly what's going on everywhere before you do yourself.
I know. It is a bit like that.
Yes, it is.
Right. So when did you move? You came back to Woodside, presumably, when you after your grandmother died?
No, we first lived in Woodside when my father came back from the war in 1945.
Okay, and but with her? Oh, no, because she was at...
She was at Park.
She was still at Park.
My father rented Woodside from my grandmother.
From her, okay.
So we lived there.
All right.
And after the war, he went up to the war office in London every day.
Yes.
And all the ambulances.
So where would they get the train from?
From Petersfield.
Oh, from Petersfield.
And
still,
he went up, and a Royal Marine, Peter Knight, who rented one of the flats at the back of Bury Lodge. He and my father, and who else went up? Somebody else. Can't remember. I think Commander Hancock went up with them occasionally. They sort of ran a system. They would check with each other, and whoever needed a lift would take it in turns to drive into Petersfield. Because the shortages, I mean, immediately after the war, the shortages were still terrible. Everything. You couldn't get petrol, you know, for years.
No.
It was all so expensive, wasn't it, that war?
It was very terrible.
Terrible, terrible time.
So, then... Your parents moved into Jasmine Cottage.
That's right.
Grandmother retired and moved into Woodside.
That's right, yeah.
So at what point did you then come back to Woodside to live, as you know?
My grandmother died.
When your grandmother died.
In 1977.
77, yes. That's right. 77, yes,
that's
okay,
right.
So 77 you came back.
Yes.
And that was your home.
That's right, from then on, yes.
Yes. And Nick didn't retire. When did he retire?
He retired from the Navy when it was Heath time, and it was those dreadful three-day weeks.
Oh, gosh, yes. So late 70s, was it?
Yes, about 70, 76, was it? 76, something like that.
I can't remember. No. And so you've been in Hambledon ever since then?
When did we move into Woodside? I was thinking. Get into a muddle.
No, well, it doesn't
matter. Doesn't matter. No.
But were the boys born at Woodside?
No. They were born at Cross Cottage in West Meon.
West Meon.
Yes. Well, they were born actually in a lovely maternity home in Fareham.
Yes. But you were living.
Yeah. We were living in West Meon.
You were living in West Meon.
Yes. Yes, because we were then able to buy the cottage. We were very lucky.
Yeah. So Tom would have been born in 72, and I know that because Tom...
71, that's right.
71, because he's Sam's godfather.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And he was 20 when Sam was christened.
Oh, was he? Yes.
Because we had three godparents. One was 20, one was 30, and one was 40.
Oh, really?
So we were spreading it out, yes. So that's what I'm thinking. So you obviously didn't move in till after 71, if they were there. So it must have been mid-70s. perhaps, when you moved back to Hambledon?
I think it was 77.
Okay.
So I think. 77. Is that right? At that time with Sam's christening?
It probably would.
Yes.
No, Sam's christening was much later, but you were saying the Heath, yes, when Nick had retired and, yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yes, Nick retired that winter, after that awful winter, that December of 3 day weeks when Heath was Prime Minister.
Yes.
And he was sent on a wonderful course for people leaving the services. Up in London, at the London Poly, called the University of Westminster by then, and the lecturer had, everything he touched had turned to gold, and he said the first thing when you leave the services, you've got to decide whether you want to be a big fish in a small pond, or a small fish in a big pond, and so Nick really wanted to be a big fish in a small pond, but he joined Plessy, because 3 day weeks, nobody was taking anybody on to work, but because he'd been doing computer work with the Navy for so long, he certainly had two telephone calls, one from Marconi and one from Plessy, offering him a job. He was very lucky.
Very good.
And so he took the Plessy job, which he really loved. And he looked after all the different navies all over the world. Mm. So it was a huge job. He absolutely loved it. Yeah. Did a lot of travelling, to Norway and Copenhagen, Denmark, and places.
Fantastic. I can't think of anything other significant that you might remember about the village.
No, you see,
we've gone through the floods, we've gone through...
Yes, the floods were awful, yes.
Anything sort of earlier?
And of course, there were a lot of pubs. There was a pub where Betty Vincent used to live, up at the high street, the Tower House. That was a pub up the high street.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
The Tower House. I didn't know that was a pub.
Yes, I think that was the one. One of those houses there was a pub.
On the right?
On the right, yes.
And obviously the Vine.
Yes, the Vine.
I mean the New Inn. Yes,
the New Inn.
Vine and the New Inn.
And the Green Man. That was also a pub.
Oh, yes, the Green Man. Mm. That was a pub.
Mm.
Yes. But do you remember those as pubs?
Yes, I remember the Green Man as a pub.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and the New Inn.
Yes, I
remember that. And the George.
And the George. The George was a lovely pub.
First Christmas I was here, everybody gathered there on Boxing Day for drinks.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Tim said, come on, we've got to go down to the George. So we did. And I didn't know a soul. But it was heaving.
Yes.
It was fantastic. Everybody was there from the village.
Were the Foxhounds there?
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Because the Foxhounds now go to Meanstoke every Boxing Day. Yes. But the Beagles still come here.
Yes, the Beagles come to the Vine, don't they?
They come to the Vine, that's right.
Yes.
Yes, it is fun.
So do you remember I remember the last Foxhound meet at Bury Lodge. I've got pictures of that.
Oh, have you?
Yes.
It was wonderful going there.
Yeah. But, and the Beagles, of course, were all at West End.
They were, yes.
Until the Onslows sold it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then when Charles had the hunt, the Beagles stayed at West End.
Yes.
Until the Onslows left. Yes, that's right.
Yes, the Beagles were there with Charles Vivian being the master.
The master, that's right.
The Beagles were at West End until the Onslows left.
And then I think they had to go over to... I
can't remember the year.
I can't remember the year.
They merged with the other...
Clinkard.
The Clinkard, that's right. Yes.
And Lynn Clinkard lives over sort of Borden way, somewhere over there. I think the hounds then went over there. And now the hounds are with the Marlborough pack, miles away. Yes, it's quite sad. They come back to Charles every year for a meet.
So who do you remember living... So the Hancocks lived at Whitedale House.
That's right.
Who lived up at... Folly House, or was that not?
The Salters, Amelia's parents, Admiral Salter.
Oh, Amelia Castle, of course they do.
The Hancocks built that house.
Yes. So why did the Hancocks build it before they went to Whitedale?
Yes, they did before they went to Whitedale. Yes, they built because they, I think the Hancocks bought the Red House.
Oh, okay.
And the garden went all the way up.
Oh, the garden included the grounds of Folly House.
And Hapton House.
Goodness, okay.
And then Captain Colby came and he built the Colt House where Lindy Higham now lives.
Yes.
He built that. And they kept the little... There's a separate building where Lindy does bed and breakfast, doesn't she?
The Folly.
The Folly. Yeah, that's right, she kept the Folly.
Yes.
Mm. So I think that went into the garden with Tony Colby.
I see. And then when the Hancocks moved to Whitedale House, Admiral Salter moved into...
The Folly House.
The Folly House.
That's right, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And I'm trying, and of course my mother-in-law's father had bought the courthouse in 1936,
Admiral Watson. Yes, that's right.
36, actually. Yes. He moved in, I think, in 36.
I think a whole lot of people came in the 30s.
Yes.
The Watsons came to the courthouse, the Lanyons came to Hambledon House.
Hambledon House.
And the Hancocks came to the Folly House, or yes. built it, they built,
built
it.
Built, yes.
And I know that they thought they made a great mistake there because they had a very dark and a very narrow hall. That lovely big house. I think
the
they did...
The Folly House?
Mm.
I always think it has a rather nice hall. Does it have a narrow hall? Anyway.
It's rather dark and narrow, I think.
Okay.
And anyway, when they went to Whitedale, Mrs. Hancock said, we must have a big... spacious hall, which they have got.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm trying to think which other... Can you remember who lived up at Cam's then, or not?
Oh, goodness. I can't remember who it was now, before the Fawcetts.
Before the Fawcetts.
Yes, I don't remember. I know my mother said she had called on... when the people came to Cam's,
yes,
she called on them and left her card.
Oh.
Calling
That's
card.
Yes.
One did.
Yes.
Yes, I can't remember who it was.
No. And so Colonel Hall was at...
He was at Hill House.
Hill House.
Yes, up Spelsham Hill.
But then after that, didn't the judge buy...
I think what happened was, I think Colonel Hall died.
Yes.
And I think Joan Hall might have built the house where Elsa then lived. In the garden,
grounds.
The grounds of, yes. of Hill House.
And then...
I think that's what might have happened, I'm not sure.
Judge McClellan and Elsa...
They lived there.
They bought Hill House.
Yes.
Yes.
No, not Hill House, they bought...
So who bought Hill House after the Halls? Can you remember?
The Lutyens, Charles Lutyens' parents.
Oh, his parents bought that.
Mm. And Elsa and Mac McClellan, before they lived...
Oh, they lived at Lone Barn.
They lived at Lone Barn, exactly.
Lone Barn,
yes, they did.
On the way.
It's yeah, very near near the Batten
Ball.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Isn't
they?
So how did? So who owned Mornington then? Or did Charles come?
Charles and Bridget lived in Mornington.
Yes, but did they come because his parents owned Hill House?
I don't know who came first.
Oh,
no, I can't
I see.
Remember. I think Charles and Bridget might have come here first. I don't honestly remember.
No, never mind.
Because I think Sam Purvis, the doctor, I think he lived in Hill House before Bridget and Charles. And he had his practice, his consult, because he was the village doctor.
Mm.
And I think he had his practice. No, Dr. Rock lived at Mornington.
Oh, okay.
He was the doctor before Sam Purvis. And Sam Purvis lived in one of the houses in East Street.
Yes.
About sort of opposite the drive into Hambledon House, I think.
And did they sort of have their surgery in the front room?
I think they may have done.
Yes.
I think they did. Yes, I think
they
did.
Yes.
Yes. And then, because Denmead got so big, they built and built and built there.
Yes.
So I think they put the surgery then, took it to Denmead.
Yes.
And I think Ian Riven-Stewart
yes.
said, we must have a surgery in Hambledon,
mm.
because the doctor had been taken from Hambledon. I think that's why they did it.
Yes.
And I know there's a buzz going around during COVID saying we'll never get the surgery back, but anyhow, we did.
We have. It's such an asset.
Oh, it's a huge asset.
Huge asset.
Yes, you don't have to book.
No.
Just turn up
no.
Monday, Wednesday or Friday.
I know.
It's simply marvellous.
No, it's fantastic.
Yes, it is.
Well, I think that just about covers everything, don't you?
Yeah, I think
it
does.
I can't think of anything else. Thank you very much.
No, it's a pleasure. Well, thank you. It's great fun reliving it all.
Good.